News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative. Yeah, just plain right. So this Green New Deal, man, I called it the Green New Steel. That's what I think it is. I mean, they're literally working the issue like nobody's business. I mean, we have always seen, since the late 60s, we have seen, you know, the calls for, you know, at one point the word was the ecology, you know, and then ecological disaster, and then it was global cooling, then it was global warming, and, you know, and now we call it just climate change because they can't tell whether it's cooling or warming, I guess. It's climate change. All to say, they're constantly wrong with the Chicken Little predictions they put out, and yet what's happening now, the shift that we're seeing, is they're now willing to spend your tax dollars whether you want them to or not. They're now willing to push forward with programs and with executive orders and with, you know, shutdowns of certain parts of the you know, the domestic production and everything else that we have had in the past. They're shutting things down and raising up other alternatives using tax dollars and executive orders and government regulation to make it happen. Shouldn't ought to be that way. The reality is this. There should be an effort on the part of the Green New Deal proponents to prove their worth. Now, can you get electricity from a giant windmill? Yeah, you can. Can you get electricity from a solar panel? Yeah, you can. Can you get the same level to power the electrical grid as you would get from hydro or nuclear or coal burning? Nope, you cannot. To this point right now, they are not able to match the capabilities of existing infrastructure. So what are they doing? They're shutting them down anyway and making a switch over. We're even being told, and I've got an article I'll get to in a minute, that we could face rolling blackouts this summer in some parts of the United States. In the United States, where I have said in the past that having spent time overseas, I come home with a greater appreciation for what we have, and one of which I've said in a public speech before, things like when you flip the switch, the lights actually come on. Well, what if they flip the switch and the lights don't come on? Because they've begun shutting down traditional power infrastructure to pursue alternatives that are not near as capable. And by the way, that cost more. So I'll never forget, as a state senator, and I've told the story once before, but just forgive me. As a former state senator, one of the most, I guess, most difficult pieces of legislation I ever had to deal with, not because of what it was for, but because of the opposition that mounted up against it, was to deal with these giant wind farms. There was a giant wind farm that was going to be proposed to be placed along a beautiful ridgeline in Etowah County all the way up to Cherokee County. It's called Shimbone Ridge. It runs along Highway 411 that goes from Gadsden near Nakalula Mountain, where Nakalula Falls is, straight up Highway 411 to a place called Cherokee Rock Village, which is a beautiful park that's filled with these giant rocks and along the ridge looking down over Weiss Lake. It's an amazing place. Beautiful farmland all along the base of it. Okay, all that to say, a company called Pioneer Green showed up out of nowhere one day, spending big money, and they were going to propose to build. They were buying up land and getting leases on lands and options on land along the ridgeline. They were going to put these giant wind farms along the ridgeline. There's not that much wind up there to begin with. The wingspan on these things is bigger than a 747's wings. That's how big these things are. The whoof, whoof, whoof sound they make has a tendency to affect cattle, and the cattle farms nearby were apoplectic. They have a tendency once in a while to sling a blade, and when you sling a blade that big, it causes some damage. They tend to be killing birds, and we have bald eagles in that area. All this to say, Pioneer Green, when they found out that I was proposing legislation that would make it difficult for them to do so without being responsible, things like having insurance and a ground reclamation plan if they ever abandon it, which they do everywhere, that they would have to also be willing to work with the local community, and they would have to pay for their own access roads and things like that. Just things that didn't say you can't come here, but if you're going to come here, be a responsible citizen. They hired 6 lobbying firms to work against my legislation. 6. 6 lobbying firms, major lobbying firms. It became the painful moment of my entire time in Montgomery. We got a bill passed anyway, and it took a fight, But I'll never forget my friend Barry Moore, who's now a congressman down in South Alabama. Then House Representative Barry Moore, now Congressman Barry Moore, asked one of the Pioneer Green guys in a meeting. He said, "I want to know this. If you did not have government subsidies, could you afford to build your wind farms?" And the guy looked at him and said, "No, we could not." That's just it. They wanted to come in and destroy the area and pretend they were doing things for the environment, but they wanted to do it on your tax dollar. It's not sustainable, it's not viable, and their parts are not always available. All right, more on that when we get back. Pump pain, green deals, and slug lines. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, and just plain right. So, hey, I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper. I'm calling this one Pump Pain, Green Deals, and Slug Lines. Now, those of y'all who have lived in Washington, D.C., ever served up there with the military or whatever, you know what a slug line is. I'm going to get back to that in just a minute because it's a unique workaround, if you will. And I imagine slug lines are even bigger now that you've got the gas prices being what they are. But let me touch back first on this Green Deal thing that is, you know, here we are having pump pain, but we're worried about Green Deals. So the Epoch Times has got one of the many stories out there right now. Actually, you know what? I take it back. You're not seeing enough stories on this about Biden invoking the Defense Production Act to push his green agenda. It's to me, it's unreal. But listen, this story on the Epoch Times dated yesterday goes a step further in outlining some of what I just said a moment ago about the windmills, the windmills not being viable. Now, do they work? Yes. So understand me, they work. But did you see the thing that happened? Was it last winter? Where the freezing rain in Texas caused the windmills to freeze up and they had no means of getting them thawed out, and people were sitting in their homes just, you know, chilling out, no pun intended, waiting for the power to come back on. If you're going to have a resource, you have to have a resource that works 24/7 and is sustainable. That's sustainability. It has to be viable, meaning it actually works and it can reach the levels needed. And it has to be available, meaning the market can sustain the parts and the construction and the infrastructure needed. If you don't have those three things, you don't really truly have a viable source. Well, the Epoch Times reports here, President Joe Biden will authorize the Defense Production Act to advance his clean energy and climate change agenda. According to the White House, the president will approve the use of the DPA to expand domestic output of clean energy technologies, including solar panels, heat pumps, transformers, and equipment for utilizing electricity-generated fuels such as fuel cells and electrolyzers. So here's the thing. You ready? By invoking the DPA, the Defense Production Act, manufacturers of solar panels and other green technologies will receive grants and loans. Oh, here we go. Not sustainable through the usual free market capitalism that America is known for. Has to be subsidized by the government. There you go. Now we're beginning to see. It can't work without government propping it up. Now, I don't mind if they, like tomorrow, if somebody says, "Whoa, we have invented the solar cell that will power the world, and it's cheap and easy and renewable, and it's great." Wonderful. I'll applaud. But we haven't. Next paragraph. In addition, the president will employ federal procurement to support greater U.S. solar manufacturing capability with master supply agreements and super preference status. You know what that means? What that basically means is, well, they say it right here. Federal procurement means they're going to be buying, the U.S. government is going to be buying up these resources quickly and more than they need, stockpiling them, putting them in warehouses, and then trying to convert all the state parks or national parks, excuse me, and other, you know, public lands to use these cells that they're going to buy up, even though they didn't need them. That's what's going to happen. It's called a bailout. Then they've got, the administration will take other steps to promote clean energy, including approving more green projects on public lands, undefined, bolstering clean energy in cities and rural areas, undefined, and supporting a diverse solar workforce. What in God's name does the Defense Production Act have to do with a diverse solar workforce? Well, the whole thing is a farce, and the whole thing is maddening. It says here, this suite of actions is expected to triple U.S. solar manufacturing capacity by 2024 to 22.5 gigawatts. When Biden took office, U.S. solar manufacturing was just 7.5 gigawatts. Yay! So, here we go. I'm just saying, this is where TVA and Alabama Power, Southern Company, if you will, and all of the other, you know, public utility systems, this is where they should be saying, we've invented a better mousetrap. Everybody run to us. But they don't. Because it's not. Because the free market has yet to see the ability to fully implement these green energy technologies in a manner that makes good market sense. Okay. Pain at the pump. Within that same context here, have you heard about slug lines? So here's the deal. Copper, you ever heard of a slug line?
No.
So you're not a slug rider?
No.
Have you lived in the DC area, like up in Fairfax or something like that?
Yeah.
You? So y'all weren't slugs?
No.
All right. I'm through teasing it now. Let me just go ahead and get what it is. Okay. Here's the deal. When I was up at the Pentagon, one of the guys in the office was he did a slug line on the way to work every day. He would literally, his wife would drop him off at a metro station. He would ride the train to a certain point, get out, walk a few blocks, and stand in line to ride with a stranger. And they call them slugs. And the standing in line is the slug line. And they do this because if you've got the right number of people in your car, you can ride in the high occupancy vehicle lanes. And so slugging, which is basically called casual carpooling, is what this article that I pulled down off the internet says, is a unique method for transporting about 10,000 commuters along the I-95 corridor. It's big in D.C. I mean, they got apps where you can check and see where the nearest slug line is. And the best part of slugging, it says, is it's free. It's free. You ride. Now, I heard some weird stories about slug riding, by the way. People ride these slug lines. Of course, they're saving some money, but you're also taking your risk. And every once in a while, you kind of tend to see that rider you like riding with, and you're next in line, you're hoping you're going to get him, and then you get stuck with the guy who actually has a sign on his dash that says, do not talk, do not touch the radio, and don't ask me to change the thermostat, just be quiet and ride. I mean, I heard some amazing stories about, you know, you will ride in the back seat, no one rides in my front seat, you know, just stuff like that. But slugging apparently was named, I thought it was slugs, like it's like snail slugs, but slugs were apparently referred to the fake or counterfeit bus tokens that people used to try and create to get on the bus, and they would get caught, and they were called slugs, so they were trying to ride for free. Well, slugging is a big, big deal up there, but the reason why it came about was the 1970s Arab oil embargo. So when we had all of those gas prices soaring in the 70s, slug lines became a thing. Speed limits were slowed down, you know, all kinds of things they did. HOV lines were created for driving where you couldn't be in that lane unless you had at least three people in the car. How many times did they catch somebody with a mannequin in the front seat? They did that all the time. All in an effort to reduce gas consumption. Well, okay. People will find their workaround, but do we really want to see the world as we know it, riding in slug lines? Maybe it works in D.C., but it won't work in, you know, New Market, Alabama. It won't work when you're trying to plow the fields in rural areas. It won't work for school buses. Slug lines. Okay, there's workarounds. There's things you can do to try and minimize the effect of these high gas prices, but daggum, we don't have the ability to have slug lines. Even in Huntsville, Alabama, the biggest city in the state, it's not going to work. So, what do you do? Well, the first thing you got to think about, though, is the fact that this is a matter of public policy. Copper, you good on clip one? Just go ahead and highlight it if you're still good there. All right, good deal. Well, tell you what, let me just do this. I've got a story here from Fox Business, dated today, saying that gas prices climbed 5 cents overnight. Well, Stephen Moore is an economist who I really appreciate his work. And I've got about a minute and 20 seconds of him talking about the fact that what we're seeing here is a self-inflicted wound. Copper, go ahead and play it.
Well, I'd love to see President Biden say, look, we're going to put a pause on the kind of climate change craziness, and we're going to continue to drill and to get an American oil and gas. I think that would start to bring the oil price down. You know, I was looking at those charts you were showing earlier on the show, and it was amazing because if you I think you said, what is it, $4.85 a gallon is the national average for the gas price. It was about $2.39 or so a gallon the day that Joe Biden took office. So do the math there. You know, that means that we've got a doubling in the gas price in 15 months. This is a result of policies that were implemented. These are self-inflicted wounds. They're not a result of COVID. In fact, because COVID's basically over, we should be seeing less inflation, better growth. One other quick thing. When the president was citing those survey results of how Americans feel good about the economy, you know, there's a new Gallup poll that just came out about a week ago that they've been doing this poll for about 40 years. Do you think the economy's heading in the right direction or wrong direction? Only 2 out of 10 Americans, Stuart, only 2 out of 10 Americans believe the economy is good or great. Most Americans feel the economy is fair or poor.
Well,
There you go. And he's right. I really do. I mean, you can't blame this on Putin. You can't blame it on COVID because a gallon of gas was roughly $2.39 when President Biden took office. And we are approaching right now, according to Fox Business storyline dated today, we are right now approaching $5 per gallon as an average. Americans are paying $1.87 more than they were just a year ago, more than that when you count when Biden came into office. So literally what we're looking at here is overnight, gas went up 5 cents. How is that even possible? But it went up 5 cents overnight, 10 cents since last Saturday. We're now seeing multiple states that are over $5 a gallon. And then we're looking at hurricane season. I don't even want to talk about that because hurricane season disrupts oil production and oil storage and oil shipping. The bottom line we've got here is we are looking at a self-inflicted wound. These are Biden's green energy industrial policies. Tell you more about that, what the Wall Street Journal had to say right after this break. But yeah, it is literally a self-inflicted wound. You might also be curious when I get back to know what counties have the highest and lowest gas prices on average in the state of Alabama. Huh. One of them in the listening area is the lowest. I'll tell you about that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Looking at a story right now that just went up on Fox News, MSNBC guest says that high gas prices will force Americans to accept the truth of green energy. Well, there you go. That's what they want. They want to force an acceptance of something that is not market sustainable right now. I mean, there are places for EVs, absolutely, electric vehicles. They got a place. And I, you know, by the way, some of them are pretty sharp. And hybrids, I get it. But if you're on a long trip, how often do you have to stop and recharge that vehicle? And how long does it take? And, oh, by the way, what about hauling cargo? I mean, so there are things that have to be taken into account that are not quite yet where they want them to be, and yet they want us to believe they're there. Got a caller on line 4. Let me grab that real quick. Dan from Madison. Hey, Dan, Phil Williams. How you doing today?
Yeah, hi, Phil. I'm doing great. A great show.
Hey, thanks, man.
I just called in. I had some information from a class I recently taught. It was called Fueling the Future. And this class, among other things, went through renewable energy and some of the challenges and progress and other things associated with renewable energy. But one of the pieces of information in the class was that told about the power in our region from Tennessee Valley Authority. We get just over 40% of our power from coal and natural gas.
Right.
And when you relate that to the power grid and charging electric vehicles, If you go through the math and look at what it takes to charge a Tesla Model 3, and you look at the coal burned, if you assume your power to charge a Tesla is coming from a coal-fired power plant, which it largely is at night, if you're charging at night and you're using what's called base load from the power plant, a Tesla Model 3 will get 3 miles per pound of coal burned at the power plant.
Huh.
To fully charge a Tesla Model 3 takes about 65 pounds of coal if it's coming from a coal power plant. Now, the critic will say, well, we got blended power. We get power from nuclear, which about 40% of the TVA power is nuclear in this region. Only 3% is wind and solar, so a very small fraction of our power is coming from true renewables, the wind and solar. And we get some hydro, too. That's 13%. But if all of the electric vehicles went away, the coal is what would be throttled back. And it'd reduce, because TVA is phasing out coal. That's the reality. They're reducing the power produced by coal. But right now, it's still critical to fulfilling the needs here. So if the electric vehicles went away, the coal plants would throttle back. So therefore, you can conclude that charging a Tesla Model 3, or any electric vehicle for that matter, is basically burning coal at the power plant to keep it charged. Because if they weren't there,
that
they wouldn't be providing power from those coal plants. They could throttle back and get more from renewables of natural gas, wind, solar, hydro, nuclear, and others.
Dan, that is fascinating.
Reality.
So Dan, you may not want to say where you work, but I assume you work in the power generating industry or something to do with energy generation?
No, I do not. I'm an engineer by training, though, and I did work in long ago on solar power back in the early 1980s. Worked actually at a central receiver solar power plant. Some may know about Solar One out in Barstow, California.
How about that?
The work done out there, the very early developmental work on solar energy and generating power using the sun.
Well, great call, Dan. Appreciate you adding that insight. That's fascinating to think of a Tesla Model 3 needing 65 pounds of coal in order to get fully charged. It kind of changes the whole dynamic when you think of it that way. Hey, Dan, great call. Thanks for... go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, so those that think they're saving the environment by driving an EV, until we get to fully clean power, they're fooling themselves. We're just not there. So they'll have their place. If the grid was all clean power, it would make a big difference. But right now, it does not.
There you go. All right, man. Hey, thanks for the call. You have a great day, bud.
Okay.
Got a story here from the Wall Street Journal, folks, as I move down to the end of this segment. Wall Street Journal dated yesterday, Biden's green energy industrial policy, it says. Talks about the fact that while Donald Trump, they say, has somewhat abused his national security powers by slapping tariffs on steel and aluminum, that Biden is doing the exact same thing now in order to promote his green energy policies. And it says now, this is the Wall Street Journal, it says, don't laugh, the White House wants to make solar panels and heat pumps to stop Vladimir Putin. Yes, that's what they're doing. That's what they're saying. They're justifying what they're doing right now by invoking Putin's name again. They're going to make the world safer against Putin's aggression by having a more clean energy climate so we don't have to be dependent upon Russian oil. That's their you know, conflation of the issues here. Points out here in the article, the North American Electric Reliability Corporation recently warned that most of the U.S. could experience power outages this summer. Blame green energy subsidies that have forced the shutdown of fossil fuel and nuclear generators that provide baseload power 24/7, it says. Relying on electric heat pumps and solar panels will make the grid less reliable. And I would say, at least for now, they will. It goes on to say that liberals promise green energy will create hundreds of thousands of manufacturing jobs to replace those killed by their war on fossil fuels, but many of those jobs will be in countries with lower labor and energy costs. In effect, Mr. Biden is using the Defense Production Act just to boost domestic companies, but send some of the manufacturing overseas. You may be curious to know, though, that when it comes to gas prices, the lowest gas prices in the state, number one in the state with lowest prices, Limestone County, right here in the listening area. Number seven on the list, Cullman County. What's crazy to me is when you look at it, according to AL.com, dated just a couple weeks ago, is that the poorest counties in the state, Dallas County, Wilcox, Macon County, Greene County, Fayette County, those are the top five in terms of the highest gas prices. The poorest counties in the state, the highest gas prices overall. All right, folks, listen, stay tuned. We'll be right back, Right Side Radio. My friend Keith Kelly, who's running for the Alabama State Senate, talk about his runoff race. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back.